Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, as is recorded in the Message. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Now, Spirit of the living God, move inside of my heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength. You are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. As God accurately reproduces his character in you. I think we've all seen, and many of us have been part of and had it done, these wonderful marketing and, I guess, self-examination methods, whereby over here in this frame, we have a picture of someone who, let's be kind, is a little bloated. And over here is a person who looks so athletic, like they should have been, you know, at the Olympics for the last couple of weeks. And the marketing folks would have us to understand that all you got to do is take their pill or drink their liquid or do some extreme diet or another. That's not really that hard to do, but, you know, it will take a little effort. Then all of a sudden you're going to go from this to this, and it's going to be easy. Or you'll see one of these contractors. They pop up on my internet all the time. When Home Depot is just about your favorite place that you're looking all the time on the net, you get all these kind of things. I'm just warning you, folks. And here's a picture of what your kitchen looks like now. And here's a picture of what the kitchen could like if you just give them $20,000, $30,000, Father, maybe, or $40,000. I don't know. I never have done that. I mean, I bought a lot of stuff, put in the kitchen, but I never turned anybody loose in mine. But again, it's going to be rather painless. Isn't that right, Lindsay? Kitchen redos are painless, and they get done overnight, right? Uh-huh, right. No. They're very pain-filled. But, you know, these pictures and these productions and these methods, they're so effective because they deal with something that we really like in life. This whole business of transformation. Transforming something from what it is that it might become something better. Something better. And those who are marketing to us out in the world would have us to know with a pill, with some concoction or another, or just spending enough money, that the transformation will happen. And oh, we're going to be happy with the results. I guess at least until the bills start coming in. St. Paul, in this portion of Ephesians, is talking to us rather distinctly about this whole business of transformation, of being changed over from what we have been and what we have become into who it is that God meant us to be all along. You see, the problem that we all have is that we've allowed whatever it is, whatever outside forces that they are, including our great enemy, the devil, to transform us into something that we are never meant to be. Not ever. It was not God's intention that we would become the sin-filled and broken creatures that we so often have been. Oh, I assure you, we didn't set out to do that. We never really meant to become that creature. But we've allowed those influences to transform us in the wrong direction. And so here in the fourth chapter, where Paul is talking to us about this new life that we are to receive in Christ, he says, therefore, having put away, and he begins a list of things that we need to put away. Now, we are in this wonderful, crazy, every 4 year season right now in this country. How I would like to go tattoo this, or have it tattooed, I should say, because you wouldn't want me doing it, but have this tattooed somewhere in front of every candidate we've got right now, no matter of party. When I get in it a little bit further, you'll understand why. Because the very first one is do away with all falsehood. All falsehood, okay? Everything that is misleading. Everything Paul says here, he says, speak the truth. Speak the truth. And of course, it's not just our political systems, but so much of our own everyday living that we don't do that. That we find it easier or more comfortable or for whatever excuse we come up with to do that which is not the truth. The second thing he goes after, he says that anger can be justified. There are times when we need to be mad. We need to be angry. But he also says that we should not sin. That is, we shouldn't let it fester inside of us to the place where all of a sudden it's not the action that we're so upset with. It's the destruction of another human being that we're after. The third thing he goes after here is that we are to work for the good. You notice that? Work for the good, but not for our own benefit. Not to build up our own stock portfolios or our own bank accounts, but to do it in such a way that it's for everyone around us. Now, I'm going to take a moment out of the sermon, so to speak, to say thank you. In a very big way. Thank you to everyone who participated yesterday in one form or another in TLC. Those who were out a week ago to Bullfrog, who helped raise a couple $1,000s that helps keep this ministry afloat. Everyone who was out in the barbecue pit, Brother Jeremy leading the cause, and all others that were working so hard in the kitchen, and then as we went to our four locations, doing and providing food to people in need. Not for our own good, Paul is telling us that we are a work, but for others. He then goes on and he says that we are to resist temptation, and he says here, not to hold grudges. Don't indulge in corrosive criticism. Do not allow denigrating sarcasm to become the norm in us that allows us to tear up other people or to see them as less than what they are, which is the children of God. Even if you perceive them to be your enemy, Paul is saying. Cultivate kindness. And above all else, Paul tells us what? To express and live forgiveness before others. As we have been forgiven. You remember that? If you've forgotten it, we're going to pray it in a little bit. Forgive us as we have forgiven others. Okay, let's go back. Our forgiveness is dependent on how we forgive others. If we're not forgiving, okay. And finally, Paul tells us there in the fifth chapter, that we are to be imitators of God, imitators of Christ, that we are to live that love of God in such a way that there could be no mistake who we serve. Now, church, listen to me very carefully. If we are not emulating these things that Paul is talking about here, if we are not living them out in such a way that our friends, our neighbors, our family, that the world itself is not seeing these things lived out in us, how can we expect them to listen to us about the love of God and what it's done for us? How can we make people believe for a moment that what we have found is true and good and should be followed if we are not living it, if we instead have settled for something far different? There's an ancient story that comes out of the lore of the Lakota Sioux up in Dakotas. It's the story of a young boy who found an eagle egg. And being rather enterprising young fella, he took that egg and he placed it under a nesting prairie chicken along with her eggs. And soon that egg, it hatched along with the hatch of the prairie chickens. And you know what happened, I think, maybe. That baby eagle began to emulate the prairie chickens. It scratched, it pecked, it looked for grubs and bugs and seeds and stuff in the dirt, never trying to fly or to be what it naturally was born to be. And one day, an eagle flew over, and one of its nest mates said, "Don't worry about that. That has nothing to do with us." And so it lived out its life literally bound to the ground. You see, we're like that eagle all too often, bound to the ground, scratching and digging after things that we were never meant to hunt for. We were meant to soar in the skies with the Spirit of the living God. That's what we were meant and called to do. But we choose to continue to scratch and dig and ignore what God has called us to do. And so we live a very limited expression of our faith. Paul is calling us to be imitators of God in Christ. Let us be good ones, eh? Amen. To God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit,